Hey, everybody, welcome to Peck Report. Welcome to Peck Report. Almost forgot which show I was doing. Josh Peck Disclosure is the YouTube channel. So welcome here. Please subscribe if you haven't had a chance to already and click the bell for notifications. Also, keep checking back at joshpeckdisclosure.com. There's lots of cool stuff there. You can also take advantage of the Last Warriors prophecy or Last Days Warriors Summit. Man, I am all over the place today. Which is a collection of videos and even censored teachings from the world's top leading conspiracy experts. And you're going to want to get a hold of that. There's actually a link to that in the description below if you want to check it out. So make sure you do that. But please subscribe to this channel and click the bell. What will Jesus' return look like to a media-saturated and hyper-connected modern world of today? If Jesus was to return today, what would that actually look like? How would that work? There's actually a Baptist preacher studying eschatology who explored how the return of Jesus Christ to earth will look in today's media-saturated and hyper-connected society. So this comes from ChristianPost.com. Andrew Roycroft, who leads Mill Isle Baptist Church in Northern Ireland, revealed on his blog that he spent a significant amount of time in 2018 reading, thinking, and praying about the teachings in the Bible about the return of Jesus Christ to earth. So he suggested, and as always, I want to know what you guys think about this, so leave a comment in the comment section below, but he suggested that there are some modern phenomena, such as that of the global audience, to consider when thinking about end times. So Roycroft says, quote, "Our great-great-grandparents' generation would have had no categories for seeing anything beyond their immediate environment, their own community or nation, and the idea of being able to see something live from another place entirely would have carried the flavor of time travel, even in my lifetime. It has been fascinating to watch the development of technology so that we no longer have the halting, time-lagging satellite connections which newsreaders and viewers once had to endure, but now enjoy instant relays of people and places in real time, which is decidedly unreal in a non-technological sense," end quote. So, the pastor also noted that Revelation 1:7 in the Bible, the Apostle John records that every eye will see him, Jesus Christ, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. So he puts forth this idea, and it's not a new thought, but he reflects that what is spellbinding about this description is, quote, "not only the unthinkable idea that everyone everywhere at once will see him, but also that Christ's coming will be moment and meaning simultaneously. When the tribes of the earth see the coming Christ, there will be no confusion about his identity, no doubt about his authority, nor any dissenting from the reality of his judgment. What a stunning image of the sovereign Savior." He also continues, quote, "the coming of Christ will resist all analysis, but will compel every tongue related to this universal and inescapable appearance is the sustained response which it will elicit from a watching world. Ours is the day of hypercommunication and fragmented analysis," end quote. And that's something interesting to think about, that, you know, in our day-to-day, we kind of, we debate these issues. We want to debate the existence of God and all this stuff. And during Jesus' first coming, it was still debated. You know, most people didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah at that time. Only a handful did. But at his second coming, no one will be able to deny it. What makes that so different? He'll be in his glorified body, of course, but he was also in his glorified body for a time on earth, and yet there are still there are still unbelievers. So what is going to be so different about that? And that is an interesting question. And of course, again, I would like to know what you think. But the pastor envisioned that when Christ appears, this back and forth debate and discussion that characterizes the modern media scene will no longer matter. So he says, quote, "if every eye will see him, likewise every mouth will be stopped," Romans 3:19. "All gainsaying, all spin will finally be spent. Nothing about the parousia will be up for grabs or subject to individual interpretation. While human beings are marrying and being given in marriage, while it is business as usual in the rumor factory, while the world may chatter and twitter and fight, Christ's appearing will throw all of this activity and expression into silence, end quote. So this is what he's predicting. And Roycroft said that Jesus' return will interrupt everything in human history. It'll consummate everything in God's purpose, and it will thwart every hand and voice raised against him, which is interesting in light of some current events that we are going to look at in just a second. But he offered that what all of this means is that in the face of how decisive and disruptive the return of Christ will be, people ought to be humbling themselves before him now and preparing our hearts to see him in his glory. Prominent theologians such as Bible Answer Man Hank Hanegraaff have also attempted to answer some big questions concerning Christ's return. So Hanegraaff, who's president of the Christian Research Institute, insisted in a March 28 video podcast that the second coming will be physical. So he says, quote, Jesus appears physically. Of that, there is no doubt. The Christian faith is not platonic. It is physical. And that's what he was telling, end quote. That's what he was telling a listener at the time. He continued, quote, Christ was raised physically from the dead. He ascended physically into heaven. He transcends time and space, and he will return again physically, and we will be resurrected physically. And he also, end quote, and he also explained that believers will welcome in the Master to restore to a restored universe. Now, again, all these debates, this back and forth, all these political issues at this time will be null and void. Nobody's going to question who Jesus is anymore. And, you know, this makes me think about things that are happening right now, such as this Texas bill that threatens to strip Texans' rights to practice biblical teachings. I mean, we are moving from a post-Christian society to an anti-Christian society, to a society, an American society that's hostile to Christianity. We're seeing that now. So some conservatives are worried that the liberal left and some upcoming Texas state bills might try to actually ban Christianity in Texas. Many of you might have heard of this already, but for those of you who haven't, let's get into it a little bit. So this comes from ChristianHeadlines.com. Eric Erickson, a conservative blogger and radio host, writes in The Resurgent that some half a dozen bills will ban Christianity in all but name. So this continues as a long line of thought first advocated by the Obama administration, which sought to restrict the free exercise clause of the First Amendment to a freedom of worship standard. So in other words, be a Christian in church on Sunday, but nowhere else. So he says, this is Erickson says, quote, Christianity is not a religion of the church pew, but of the town square. Texas progressives are trying to ban it from anywhere outside the church, end quote. So Erickson was referring to Texas bills, including HB 224, HB 254, HB 850, and SB 151, all of which would prohibit the discrimination of sexual orientation or gender identity by businesses, including Christian-owned ones. Now, previously, Christian businesses have claimed that they claim they have the right to refuse service based on their religious beliefs, which of course they do. But two other bills are also being considered. HB 517 would require Christian counselors to affirm transgenderism, and SB 154 would force doctors to create birth certificates retroactively for patients who gender transition. Now, Dave Welch, who's the president of Texas Pastors Council, also said the bills could mean less rights for Christians. So he said, quote, the mad dash by some Democrat House and Senate members to push false narratives that sexual behavior is the same as skin color and that mental illness deserves the same honored status as religious belief is ominous evidence that the criminalization of religious faith and common sense are on the horizon, end quote. So Texas Values, which is a state conservative advocacy group, has also mounted a campaign to show that the House bill, the House bill hashtag ban the Bible. So, quote, ban the Bible doesn't have to mean confiscating physical Bibles yet, but it does mean something even worse, stripping Texans' right to practice biblical teachings out of their lives, end quote. So of course, I mean, it's frightening stuff. It's horrifying stuff. This is the direction this country is headed. And a lot of it is because we're simply not, we on the right, or we as conservatives, or we as Christians, are simply not holding our ground. We're not going out there and making disciples of all nations. We're not evangelizing as much as we should. We're not sharing the gospel. We're content living our own lives in our own homes, minding our own business, and not spreading the gospel. And because of that, it allows more and more people like this to breed this type of ideology. And because of that, that is going to keep growing and growing and growing. Christianity is going to keep shrinking. So that's why we as the church need to get it together, and we need to go out and teach people about Jesus, because Jesus is the solution to all this. Christians that actually know Jesus are not going to be wanting bills like this. They're not going to be trying to pass laws like this. Christians who actually know Jesus, and I'm not talking about the super liberal so-called Christians that aren't really Christian and they're just saying that they are. I'm not talking about those, but Christians who actually know Jesus. If you introduce somebody to Jesus, the rest will follow. The rest will fix itself. So that's what we need to be doing. All right, as always, I want to know what you think, and I want to invite you to Hear the Watchman, the Hear the Watchman conference this March, March 28th. And this is in Dallas, Texas, which is ironic, because we were just talking about that. So it's good to bring some good Bible teaching back to Dallas. I mean, if they're having to deal with this stuff, let's bring them some good stuff. So we would love it if you would come and join us. Use the promo code Josh20, J-O-S-H-2-0. If you use that promo code, you get $20 off your ticket. I hope to see you there. We got a great lineup of speakers involved. Of course, myself, Stephen Bancars. We have L.A. Marzulli is going to be there, Russ Dizdar, Gary Wayne, many, many others. You can look at the full list at hearthewatchmen.com, M-E-N, hearthewatchmen.com, promo code Josh20 for $20 off. All right, as I said, I would love to know what you think about all this. Please leave me a comment in the comment section below, and keep checking back to joshpeckdisclosure.com, and please subscribe and click the bell for notifications. All right, everybody, all that being said, thank you so much. Love you all. This has been Peck Report. Till next time, take care. God bless.